This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
What we know about America's supply of meat. I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump is invoking his special authority under the Defense Production Act to keep meat processing plants open. In an executive order, the president designated the plants as critical infrastructure. Some plants have been hotspots of coronavirus and have been forced to close, affecting the country's meat supply. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins me now with more. Nova, what does the president's executive order do?
Right. So for one thing, it prevents local authorities from closing meat processing plants in their communities because of coronavirus infections, as long as those plants are following federal safety guidelines. Those guidelines came out over the weekend. They are voluntary. They include steps like spacing workers farther apart, putting physical barriers such as plexiglass between workers. Federal authorities say if plant operators are making a good faith effort to follow the guidelines, then the government may stand by them if they're sued by workers for exposure to the coronavirus.
All right, good faith. Now, I understand that labor unions are not happy with this executive order. What are they saying?
Right. They are not. And it is that term good faith that you mentioned. They say workers' safety should come first. And some workers have complained that plant operators have been slow to implement safety measures. Local officials claim some plants are hotbeds of infection that then spread throughout communities. And the United Food and Commercial Workers Union says 20 workers have died. They want the government to compel plant operators to take more safety measures. They want enforced standards.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo, thank you very much. With 95% of all domestic flights grounded in this pandemic, the maker of many of those planes is set to report quarterly sales and losses today. The Wall Street Journal reported this week that prosecutors have widened a criminal investigation into quality control lapses at Boeing beyond the problems with its 737 MAX jets involved in two fatal crashes. And there's news rival Airbus went from making money to losing it in the last quarter. The Airbus chief executive says the industry needs to learn how to coexist with the pandemic. Here's the BBC's Theo Leggett.
Aviation traffic around the world is down between 70 and 80%. In some countries, entire aircraft fleets are grounded. So getting the industry started again is a logistical problem for a start. All the aircraft need to be prepared for flight again. The pilots and crews need to have their training up to scratch. The industry's fairly calm about that. What they're less happy about is what's going to happen in terms of when travel restrictions are removed, so which countries do it and when, and also the conditions under which that happens. So at the moment, you could say it's a bit of a mess and nobody knows where the industry is going.
That's the BBC's Theo Leggett. The FTSE 100 stock index in London is up 0.6%. Checking U.S. stock index futures, the Dow future is up 130 points, 0.5%. The NASDAQ future up 1%, with the Federal Reserve policy team due to report back after lunch today.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure?
At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Long before there was something called novel coronavirus, there was extensive work being done on helping communities develop resilience to really just about anything bad that could happen, from earthquakes to floods to pandemic. Jeb Brugman is founding partner of Resilient Cities Catalyst. Thank you for joining us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you, David.
Over the years, we've examined this idea of resilience for cities and regions, the idea that there are policies that can help a place be in a much stronger position when bad things happen. Here we are. Bad thing has happened. In what ways do you think resilience could help us moving forward?
Well, the current crisis is exposing that we need to build out a full infrastructure for, in particular, our local economies and the distressed communities around our country where about 100 million people live. We've done this before. We've built whole infrastructures to deal with fire risk in American cities that used to burn to the ground on a regular basis.
What do you think some of the priorities should be as we move forward?
When I think of it as an economist, I look at two highly exposed vulnerabilities in the national economy that trickle down to our local neighborhoods and communities. The first thing is the U.S. economy is extremely dependent on personal consumption expenditures, and about 27% of the GDP in the United States is consumption expenditures by households that make less than $70,000 a year. So when those households, like today, get hit very hard with layoffs, and those consumption expenditures drop, it has a trickling down impact on the small business community. And so what we really need to do is figure out how we strengthen both the small business community and low-income households to be able to weather these kinds of shocks.
So a disaster happens, government mobilizes, perhaps the federal government hands out a bunch of resources and a bunch of money. But what the regions or the cities or the towns need is a way to get the money into the hands of people who need it quickly. So that could be a resilience initiative that comes out of this pandemic crisis.
And that's why I call it an infrastructure. This is really about putting institutional mechanisms in place or strengthening the ones that are already there so that there is a response, so that within a week, funds can get out of the door to the most vulnerable local businesses and households. But we have a whole infrastructure in the United States of community development finance institutions, local cooperative banks, community development corporations. And I think what we need to do is support them having a capacity in order to have this response mechanisms and to be able to link up quickly with state and federal government in order to move money quickly back into the economy when it's down on its knees.
Jeb Brugman is founding principal of Resilient Cities Catalyst and a regional economist. Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.